بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's book, The Concise Admonition, and we have reached the point where Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah is mentioning the resemblance of some amongst Muslims to the previous nations, from the Jews and from the Christians, and that this is blameworthy. A blameworthy matter to resemble the Jews and the Christians and the Romans and the Persians. And this is something legally not condoned, although it is universally taking place, because Allah allowed it to take place, that it's inevitable to take place from a universal perspective. But from a legal perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the believers to refrain from and not to follow the path of the Jews and of the Christians. So no one can come and say, well, if the Quran and the Sunnah already spoke about that this something is going to happen, so what's the benefit of forbidding it? The answer is, the Kitab and the Sunnah, the book and the Sunnah also indicated that there is still amongst this Ummah a group holding to the truth. The truth with which the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is upon, until the day of the establishment of the hour. And that this ummah or this group does not unite on misguidance, does not unite on dalala, on misguidance. So therefore, forbidding to follow this path is a support and an amplification of this group, the victorious group, and an increase of its state of iman. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them, from the saved and victorious group. The other point is, knowing that it is something forbidden to follow these paths of resemblance of the disbelievers, and believing that this is a matter that the Muslim should abide by, in itself is good. Even the person may not do accordingly, then he, rahimahullah, said, the most beneficial to the particular ones and to the general ones of the Muslims is the knowledge in that which constitutes a deliverance of the souls from sins. And this is the path of following the sin with good. Following the sin with righteous deeds. This is the path which delivers the common and the particular Muslim from sins. And the sins here cover the disobedient acts, as well as following the previous nations in their misguidance. and from the terrible consequences of such following. Otherwise, if they don't follow with righteous deeds, then the effects of sins and their harm will befall them. And the effects and consequences of sins are very great and vary in this life as well as in the hereafter, on the society's level as well as on the individual level. From the harmful consequences of sins is حرمان العلم والرزق. Is being deprived of knowledge and provisions and loneliness, which the sinner feels in his heart and between him and his Lord and between him and mankind. And from that also is the complication of affairs and even the weakness, the physical weakness of the body itself, and the deprivation of obedience and loss of blessings. And from that is the darkness on the heart and its restriction and grief and pain and constant worry and its weakness and ability to resist its enemy, the temptations and shaitan. And from that is that sins themselves lead to more sins and strengthen in the heart the willingness and the intention to sin, and weakens the will to repent gradually until tawbah is totally removed from the heart, whereby the person will continue on disobedience to the degree that he will not even dislike sin. And from the harmful consequences of sins is that the person will take Allah lightly, and that its consequences will not be limited to the person himself. Rather, it will even influence mankind and animals. Not only that, rather sins leads to the inheritance of humiliation and corrupts the intellect and subject the person to the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deprive him from the invocation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the invocations of the angels and the invocations of the believers. And it also will extinguish the ghira from the heart. The ghira, it will extinguish the ghira. What is the ghira? The ghira is one's care for that which is inviolable. Nothing will be considered inviolable in the heart of the sinner. And it will take away bashfulness. And it will lighten in the heart the magnification and reverence of Allah. And it will therefore lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forsaking the slave, will leave him to himself and to his shaitan. And from the harmful consequences of sins is that it instills terror in the heart of the disobedient, and takes away from its security and replace that with fear. And most of the people who are in a state of fear, you will find them those who transgressed the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it will take away the person from the circle of ihsan, of goodness and benevolence, and weakens the journey of his heart to Allah and to the last day and to the abode of the hereafter, and humiliate himself and blinds his heart and puts to base his rank and takes away the rank of honor and makes him wear the names of humiliation, and will render the shayateen from jinn and ins accessible to him, and thus it will lead to his captivity to them. And from the sins consequences is that it emerges or submerges the sinner in the well of grief, continuously staying in a state of hasra, grief, whenever he feels getting an enjoyment, so his self looks for more, quote unquote. And the more he goes after these so-called lusts to fulfill them, then in reality his grief will intensify and his sadness will grow. What a fire of punishment within the self, therefore, is sin and its consequences. This is a fire in this life before that of the hereafter. And from the sins is the deprivation and loss of the most precious things to the self, and that is time, which is unsubstitutable, which cannot return. Never it can return. Overall, the consequences and the ugly consequences of sins is more than one can comprehend. All good of this life and the hereafter is in being in a state of obedience to Allah, and all evil, whether in this life and the hereafter, is in the trading the path of disobedience to Allah. And if the believer takes the path of obedience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his amr and will protect his status amongst mankind and will protect his wealth and will cause people to love him and accept his sayings. It will bring comfort to the body as well, and it will strengthen the heart and openness of the chest and security from fear and diminishing of grief and worries, and it would lead to making the acts of obedience easy for him and the path of knowledge even accessible, and also will gain abundant dua and will gain reverence amongst the people. And will find people defending his honor and his status. And this will hasten the response of Allah to his call and his invocation, and the nearness between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the closeness will intensify, and that of the angels and that shayateen, the ins of the jinn, will distance themselves away, and people even will compete to be at his service helping him. And all of that also will make him not fear death. Rather, the person will reach the stage where he will be pleased coming close to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returning to him, and this life will be diminished in his sight, and the life of the hereafter will be amplified and magnified, and he will be keen to possess the greater possession in the hereafter, and he will taste the sweetness of iman, and he will gain the dua of those who lift the arsh of Ar-Rahman and who are around from the angels invoking Allah for him every time. And Allah will give him wisdom of thought and increase in his intellect, and will gain the love of Allah and his pleasure in his tawbah. He will gain the pleasure of Allah and him being pleased with the believer's tawbah. These are some only few of the consequences of abandoning sin in this life, so that the person, when he dies, the angels will receive him with glad tidings from his Lord, glad tidings that he will be from the people of paradise, and that he will be from the people who shall have no fear and no sadness. And then he will be removed from the prison of this life and its restriction to the vastness and bliss, the endless bliss of the hereafter in paradise. Desire can lead to either pain and punishment. We talk about lowly desires can lead to either pain or punishment, or it may discontinue an enjoyment or it may lead to the loss of valuable time, the loss of which will be grief and sorrow, or it will lead to loss of wealth, the existence and continuity of it is better than its loss, or it will lead to loss of rank and honor, or it will take away a blessing or a favor, the existence of which and the continuity of which is more pleasant than the commitment of or the execution of or attainment of a lust. Or it will permit for some despicable one to reach you where he may not have even been able to do so otherwise, just because of your following of your lust. You open the gates away. You open the gates, all the gates. Or that it may lead you to acquire, instead of security, acquire sorrow and woe and worries and fear. None of which will be even comparable to the quote unquote enjoyment of the lust that you were looking for. Or that it may lead you to forget beneficial knowledge, whose enjoyment is much better than this lowly enjoyment that you looked for. Or it may lead even to the lifting of favors from Allah upon you. Or it may cause you a certain defect, such as a defame, something which you may not be able to recover from. Then back to what the Shaykh rahimahullah said in the text. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said then, وَالْحَسَنَاتُ مَا نَدَبَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ عَلَى لِسَانِ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالصِّفَةِ. And the good deeds are that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended on the tongue of the final and last messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comprising or comprising actions, moral character and qualities. And another book, he rahimahullah mentioned in his book Al-Ubudiyya, Wal-Hasanat, he defined them as, the good deeds as, هِيَ مَا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, that which is beloved to Allah and His Messenger, and that is, وَهُوَ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ أَمْرَ إِيجَابٍ أَوْ إِسْتِحْبَابٍ. And this refers to all that which Allah commanded by way of obligation or recommendation. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next talk, we will continue the discussion on the concise admonition by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.